It's a tough crowd. Oh, my goodness. Well, again, God is so good, and one of the great problems we have in our lives is the same thing that I was looking, and I guess the pastor verified it to my soul. I thought maybe the Lord was going to have me preach something. I already preached here before, and I started to go look at my little book to find out, and it's like the Spirit of God said to me, "You're going to preach what I tell you?" And so I'm going to preach what he told me. And then I told the preacher I was worried about, and he said, "Well, just don't preach the one, never mind, the one I'm getting ready to preach." Yeah. So let us, you know what we need is the same thing I had when I was the dean of men at Heritage Baptist University. That young men, young ladies would come, and they were have good families, good heritage, good study habits. They were model students. They would go through the classes and go through the 4 years in college to get their degrees. And just within a matter of weeks, I would get word that they had gone 100 miles an hour right out of graduation, straight into the ditch and ruined their life. They had gotten all the doctrines right. They had gotten their studies right. They had performed all their activities right. They had fulfilled all their obligations correctly. They had represented their families well and then messed up as soon as they got out because they got out of balance. Something in their life took them off the main road. Some of the young men got stuck on one doctrine. And all the doctrines of God's word fit together. They're in harmony. And if you get off on one of those doctrines, it's like taking a spoke out of the wheel. It starts making you wobble. And so we must be vigilant about our walk with God. But everything about God, as we said last night, one thing we need to learn about God is he's absolutely balanced in all of his attributes. And he's absolutely balanced in the Godhead. He wants us to be balanced in our life. And so I've said you could try to milk a cow on a one-legged stool. I've tried that. It's not fun. I spent more time on the ground than I did with the udders. Or forget I said that. It's utterly too late to do anything about that. And so you get a two-legged stool. Does a little better. But if you get that three-legged stool, you've got a plane. You got 1 point, it's hard to balance. Get 2 points and you got a straight line. You're straight. So you get some things in your life straight. You're straight on that doctrine. You're straight on church. You're straight on faithfulness. You're straight on this. But you still wobble and you fall forward or backwards. You just got the one leg, that's all you got. One aspect of your whole spiritual life, and you get out of balance real easy. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are absolutely balanced in harmony and synchronized in all that they are and all that they do. He wants us to have, as our body, soul, and spirit, he wants us to be balanced and have a fulfilling life and not just have victory because we did what he told us to do. He's given us some things to help us balance our whole lifestyle, our whole life. We know that in the Bible we can find places, if we want to know what the Bible teaches about a subject like love, we know we can go from Genesis all the way to Revelation and we can find what God says about love. But we know that we can go to one particular place where God thoroughly enhances the definition and the demonstration of love. And we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We call it the love chapter. If we want to investigate all about the word faith. I've read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation just looking at faith. I've done it for grace. I've done it for love. And you're looking for something. If you're reading your Bible, you're not looking for anything, more or less, you can pass up some real gold. And so if you want to look for love, you go to 1 Corinthians 13. If you want to look to explanation of how you can be saved and still have all the jerk on the inside that you had before you got saved, then you can go to Romans chapter 7 because it explains the two natures that are embattled inside our own soul. If you want security, you go to Romans chapter 8, 9, and 10. If God can sustain and maintain a relationship with Israel and the Jews, he doesn't have any problem keeping me. I'm secure because God's kept every promise to them in spite of how they've been. And he's going to restore them in these last days. So we know security. And if you want to know the glory of God, I've preached a few messages here. I think a week meeting, W-E-E-K, on the book of Ezekiel chapter 1 and 10. And the glory of God. That's where you go if you want to know the glory of God in detail of what he's talking about when he talks about the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, but that's not the glory of God. God is his own glory. And some people, I think, use the word Shekinah. I don't find it in the Bible. But it's God's glory. Everything God uses is a living thing. So we can go to Ezekiel, we can go to many places in the Bible and find explanation of faith. We want to go to Hebrews chapter 11. But if you want to go to some place in the Bible, I could go. There's about 20 other subjects that show you particular chapters and places in the Bible where he deals with these subjects thoroughly so that we can have a greater understanding of it. But if you want to know how to be balanced, God has given us one book in the Bible that will help us stay balanced in our life. The book of Psalms. And because the subject matter is so urgent and important, especially if we want to continue on, if you don't need this message tonight, I know I do. And so if you will just let me preach to myself for a little while, and if something splashes out on you, that's good. I'll try not to do like I do at the dinner table, sling some of my food on you or something like that. But I'll try to be a blessing to you. But I learned this lesson when I was a dean of men, and one of those students I knew had gone in the ditch, and he was coming back to get his master's degree, and he was messing up right in the middle of the student body. Everybody saw it. Everybody heard it. Everybody knew about it. His local church would not discipline him. And so as the dean of men, I wanted to help him. If we could get it corrected right now, maybe I could help save his whole life, save his whole ministry. Sometimes when you try to help people by reproof and rebuke and exhortation, they say, "Why don't you mind your own business?" And they leave the church. Well, I wanted to try to help him. So that morning, I'd prayed most of the night because I knew in chapel service I was going to have to put this young man, either he was going to have to leave. We couldn't have that in the student body. And so I'd prayed. I wanted to know what to do, how to help the student body, because I figured what that young man was going to do because he had a preacher father who was arrogant and nobody can touch his kid and it doesn't matter what he does, it's not wrong. And I knew I'd have to have a confrontation with him later. But I had a hope that maybe he would get right. So as I was sitting on the back porch of my house with my Bible in my hand, just meditating and thinking and doing my devotions early in the morning, and sitting on the back porch in the swing, just a swinging and praying, all of a sudden I saw a little bush that my wife had planted out in the right straight in front of me, between me and the deer stand. Between the deer bait. And I was looking at that, and this bush was shaking, and I saw a little birdie was right there on top of it. And that little birdie was just bouncing up and down. Can you see him? And he jumped off of that thing, and he went head over heels, just tumbled right down on the ground. And as he went down on the ground from that little tree, I noticed he didn't have any tail feathers. So he didn't have any ability to control what he was doing. The more he flapped his wings, the more he just tumbled. I said, oh, this is terrible. About that time, out of the tree, a taller tree to my left, I was looking out there, and all of a sudden, this little birdie came out, and he was just kind of going round in circles and hit the glass door right behind me, down on the concrete, looking at me. And I noticed half of the right wing was gone. I'm thinking, this is pretty bad. We've bought a house on a toxic waste dump. I mean, I had all kinds of things going through my head. What in the world is going on? And I realized, looked at my watch, realized I had to get in the house because I had an hour drive to get up to the school. And I went in the house, got my stuff together, got all my briefcase filled up, got out of the car, started the car, and I looked up, and there was a little birdie sitting on the gutter of the house. And he jumped, and he went right into the windshield. I'm looking at it, and I reached for the windshield wiper. I said, oh, no. What is going on? And I asked the Lord, and the Lord, you know, all of a sudden, I saw four or five small kittens and cats under every bush. My neighbor's cats had all had kittens. And what we had was a catastrophe. And that cat, those cats were getting those babies before they could get everything developed, tearing part of the wing off, tearing their tail feathers off. And it left those little birdies totally vulnerable to all the other varmints that are around, the weasels and the raccoons and the possums and the coyotes. And something was going to get them because we couldn't take them in the house and put them in a birdcage. And I just felt sorry for them. And God said they weren't balanced. They didn't have their wings right. They didn't have their tail feathers right. And as I drove to the college, God started bringing verses in the book of Psalm to my mind. You see, in Philippians 4:5, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. All that is balance. Stay balanced in your life. And the book of Psalms, 1/3 of the book of Psalms, is just teaching, preaching, instruction, and testifying. 1/3 of the book of Psalms are prayers. 1/3 of the book of Psalms are praises. If you can fill your life with the tail feathers of preaching, those are the things that decide if you're going up or going down. The bird will adjust the tail feather like a rudder to help them make their sweeps to the left and to the right. Makes a smooth transition when they go up, down, or it keeps everything smooth in their life. The preaching keeps you stable. I say the right wing of the bird is his prayer life. Most every church service around the world we go to, they do the same things every service. We pray, we praise, we preach, we testify or praise some more, and we pray to close. That's normal. Do you start your day with instruction from the Bible, a time of prayer to your master, and then praise and thankfulness for what he's already done for you before you ask him for anything else? You keep preaching, praying, and praising in your life and keep them balanced. You'll have a successful life. You see, we're to walk circumspectly. That's the same Greek word. Moderation, circumspectly. It's walk with stability in your life. Get those 3 points on your stool, on your stand, that, and you will have a successful Christian life. And that's really the theme that God has put on my heart again tonight. And I'm going to emphasize some things that are a little different from the last time I had preached this here. And so the Psalms point to the victory. It gives us the gory details of some people's lives and the heartaches and the tragedies that people go through. And it helps see the vividness of how bad things get in people's life. How many of us, we would have to say, even after myself being saved for 46 years, it'll be 47 years Thanksgiving night. I've seen a lot of bad stuff. I'm glad God didn't show that to me up front. To get Ezekiel started, Ezekiel said, take a good look at me. Ezekiel, I'm going to put you in the ministry. Get a good look at me. He let him see the glory of God before he put him into the harshness and the hazards of ministry. Because honestly, a lot of preachers are not helping the young preachers anymore. We get up there and we tell, oh, that pastoring's hard business. Boy, that's preaching. Oh, you sacrifice so much, and it's such a lousy thing. And don't make it a career. Good night, whatever. You know, just God blesses your people. And the truth of the matter is, I've buried 5 just in the last 6 months, 5 old preachers that died absolutely alone, after they invested 55 plus years in other people's lives. He outlived all of his critics. My pastor, B.M. Page, died at age 96. That's where I got my standards from. I got my standards from 1926. So I have trouble adapting to what's going on around us today. But he said, somebody was in my presence. He's asked, Brother Page, why do you think God let you live so long and all your friends are gone? None of them that you started, none of these preachers you preach for, they're all dead. They're all gone. He said, well, I was just slow getting my job done. They were all much better Christians than me. And so they got their job done, got out of the way. But I don't know. God wants us to be balanced in not just the gory stuff and be able to handle it. He wants us to be see the vastness of God's glory. Where can you go get that? We don't even know how to pray after 46 years. We know not what to pray for as we ought, but hallelujah, the Holy Spirit of God Himself intercedeth for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He teaches us what to pray and what to say. And then I get a preacher friend to get up and absolutely rebukes people for praying a prayer when they got saved. And I said, good night, man. I don't even know what I'm supposed to pray. How's a lost sinner that's never even hardly read much of the Bible, how's he supposed to know what to say? He can go to the Bible and God will give him words to say. If that man can pray it and get saved and with his sincerity of his heart, then this man can pray the same thing. God's no respecter of persons. But Hosea 14:1, God said, take with you words and turn to me and say to me, God gives him the very words to say. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he's quoting Psalm 145, verse 8, which says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord in truth. None of us believe that somebody can just say a prayer and repeat a prayer and get saved. But if that's their heart's intent, and that's the desire, an honest desire, that they want God to forgive them and save them. So I asked the man after he got done, I said, well, if it's not all right to pray to get saved, can it be all right to pray and say thank you for saving you? Which is the prayer, asking or saying thank you? Prayer is not just that. Prayer is communicating with God. I was talking to God long before I even knew Him in salvation. And so being balanced in our life, the Psalms are used as evidence of the Holy Spirit's control in our life. If you don't know what to pray, find you somebody in the Bible that's going through the similar things you went through and see what they had to pray. See what God inspired their prayer and recorded their prayer so we would know what to pray and how to say it. I try to give you an example of some things, but let me read a few verses in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, verse 23. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idle, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heaven be glad and the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and with the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Listen, the whole world is involved in recognizing and the instruction of the Lord, the communication that God wants with the Lord, and the praises due unto his name. See, we can get so out of balance. What is the tail feathers? I call the tail feathers of preaching in our lives. Preaching deals with the reason, the reasoning of man. Prayer deals with the volition, the will of man. And praise deals with the affections of man, the emotional part of man. And so God wants us to be very balanced in our reasoning, in our affection, and in our volition or will. And we have to constantly control all those, keep them all balanced, because we can get completely out of balance if we make every decision based on our emotions. Follow your heart. If it feels good, do it. Well, your emotions ought to be brought under control, because a lot of people in the Bible, by their personal example, followed their emotions and it led them to destruction. So God has given us a precious, powerful tool that if we will use it in our personal Christian life, yes, in our church life, yes, in our missionary life, yes, in my evangelistic ministry, if I'll keep these three things solid and stable in my life, I'm not going to get off the deep end. I'm not going to mess up along the road. I'm not going to have a flat tire. I'm going to keep going for the Lord. But if all we have is preaching, like some of those young men that graduated and then got one doctrine, ate them up, and they just jumped in the ditch and they became castaways. So preaching will make you have a disease I call doctrinitis. Doctrine is absolutely essential. False doctrine is disastrous. You've got to have your doctrine right. But if all you have is what the Bible teaches. I was 21 years old. I was already considered a seventh generation Methodist preacher. I had already gone to college. I had already been filled 4 years of a journeyman experience as an apprentice for sheet metal work. I've been in church all my life. I was raised at Cato Tabernacle, downtown Indianapolis, Indiana. My grandfather, I had two uncles. I just buried both of them. Circuit riding Methodist preachers. I have a goodly and godly heritage. I was raised right. I was in church all the time. My parents were druggies. They drug me to church. And I did regret it, but I don't regret it. But when you get 10,000 people in one place and you got 1,000 people in the choir, In largest city, largest church in America in the 20s, 30s, and 40s was Cadle Tabernacle, downtown Indianapolis, Indiana. B.R. Lakin was the pastor when I was, up till the age I was three. He dedicated me as a baby. I hope something took. No greater preacher than B.R. Lakin. It works on our reasoning. But the Pharisees had their traditions and their doctrines and their legalism and all these other issues. They were straight on all those things. How much you could eat, how much you could not drink, when you had to wash your hands, when you had to wash your feet. I mean, they had time set for everything. Not biblical. It was their additions that Jesus had a problem with. Because he told the people, whatever they say to you, do it. Just don't do like they do, because they say and do not. They have rules for everybody, but none for themselves. Don't be a parent that way either. Don't say, do as I say, not as I do. No, show them. And so preaching keeps us balanced, but it takes the praying and the praising to keep us from getting in the ditch with preaching, with instruction, with the testimony of the Lord, with the precepts, with the intellectual part. We become dull and dead. Well, I'm straight. Gun barrel straight, but you don't have any ammunition to shoot. Let me try this, and that didn't go over too good. Let me try this point. Without preaching, people get completely out of order and stumble if all they have is a prayer life. Prayer will make you glassy-eyed weirdo. I mean, I've met them, oh, I have prayed for God, and God told me, and I felt God. I had a man in my presence after church one night. He said, oh, don't you know how when we get in our prayer room over there, we pray and we leave our bodies and we go fight the devil down in Brazil. I mean, that's astro travel. That's spiritism. I said, don't come to my house that way. God told me. Now God's never spoken to these ears, and this is how God speaks. To the word and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. This is how you try the spirits to see whether they've got any spirit, any preacher that preaches contrary to this book, you know it was not the Holy Spirit of God. Because these are the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. He wrote that book. He's not going to tell you anything contrary to that book. Prayer is a powerful, powerful tool. But you know there are doctrines of demons. There's winds out there. People that have a basic knowledge of the Bible and they spend most of their time in prayer, they hear things. They see things. But if they don't have the preaching, they will start defining the Bible by what they've heard, what they've seen. That's my view. That's where we have the charismatic movement. They measure the Bible by their experience instead of filtering their experience through the Bible. Oh, prayer, what sweet communion with God. You can tell Him all your fears, all your doubts, because He already knows you. When I pray to the Lord, I know that He knows that I know that He knows what I'm about to say. But He still wants to hear it. When my son calls me, I know that he knows that I know he's going to ask me for money. But I love to hear his voice anyway. And if I got it, he gets it. With some restraints. So we have preaching can get out of balance. Prayer can get out of balance. Praise can get out of balance. You know what? Why people leave good, fundamental, sound, doctrinal churches that walk with God in prayer and preaching? They go to the entertainment church up the road. You know why? Because they're out of balance. They're out of balance. Praise is comely for those that know doctrine and those that know God and those that have communed with God in preaching and praying. Now you're qualified to praise. Praise is, if we can get so much, we become just entertainers and we start taking in the social gospel, and their whole ministry and their whole church service is just shallow water that makes a lot of noise. Still waters run deep. I'm afraid if you leave the preaching and praying out of your life, you're just going to be babbling brooks. So balance is required for stability. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, according to as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Balanced. You know why we get in the ditch? You know why we stumble and fall? Because we're out of balance. One thing is more important to us than the other thing. They're all absolutely essential in our whole Christian experience. Preaching. In the book of Psalms, you can look there at Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's good preaching. Look at the Psalms, read it, say, decide, is this preaching, teaching, instruction, counsel, testimony, or is it praying, or is it praising? Why do they rage? Well, boy, I tell you, the book of Psalms is one-third of the Psalms is nothing but preaching and instruction. And I know it's Hebrew poetry. It's written in a very Hebraic cadence, and it makes a lot more sense in the Hebrew. But boy, did our translators do a masterful job at making it prose. It's the highest form of prose in the English language. In the Lord put I my trust. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Chapter 19, chapter 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24. I said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 27. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself against evildoers. I mean, Psalm 139. Has all three of these things in it. Psalm 24, the 23rd Psalm has all three. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He gets so good and the preaching and the praying that he starts praising. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 139 is the same. It's divided into all three. Some of the psalms are prayers. So you don't know what to say. You don't want to say. Many times as a pastor working full time and come to the church, I'm telling you, just all I had was left to get up there, and I started reading a psalm, and I just start making comments, and all of a sudden the Lord's light would start shining, and it turned into good preaching, even if I did it. Well, maybe it didn't, but you know. But it was good for me. Don't make me ask you if you're here tonight. I could use some help. Okay. So we get giggles. Okay, good. Take some of these psalms with you to your prayer closet. So I don't know what to pray. Take some psalms to the prayer closet. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? I got all of these problems. Look how they're increased. So other people go through the same things you go through. And God gave them a prayer. We can pray that prayer. As long as it's just not form and function. It's not, as long as it's not vain repetition. Nothing wrong with repetition. It's when it's vain repetition that God has a problem with. Just saying the words, just going through the form and the function but denying the power thereof. Lord, hear me when I call, O God, Psalm 4. Psalm 5, give ear to my words, O Lord. Psalm 6, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. Psalm 7, O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Why standest thou far off, O Lord? Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, in Psalm 12. So I'm just saying, keep the testimonies and the preaching and the instruction and the counsel of the Lord. Keep these psalms before your face and in your heart. Get yourself under solid, verse by verse, through the Bible preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Keep yourself balanced in that. But make sure you do not neglect your prayer time with God, not in home, not in church. Just keep that thing. I tell you, I got under conviction as a pastor sometime because we had a prayer meeting and we prayed maybe 2 minutes. So I stopped calling it a prayer meeting. I started calling it Bible study. Then when I got under conviction, we had another night for prayer. And boy, those people learned to pray. And we built a big church. And I took credit for it. But I surrounded myself with very capable people who were far more gifted than me. They made me look good. I accepted it and said, thank you, Jesus, for the friends and the workers that you sent my way. Prayer. How about praise? Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Get a hold of these psalms. Let them get a hold of you. Psalm number 9, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Psalm 33, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fear. You can't just praise God unless you're grounded with good preaching and counseling. You know who you're talking to in your prayer life, and you understand what you're saying to Him. It's not just mumbo jumbo junk that comes out of your mouth. You need to pour your soul out before Him, and boy, He'll fill your heart with His glory and His praise. Psalm 47, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Psalm 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. I mean, you could go to Psalm 108, Psalm 111 through 113, 117, 134. It's a little too deep for me when I read my Bible and I can't seem to get all the instruction out of it, and I don't feel comfortable praying those prayers, and I don't really understand some of the preaching, and I don't understand some of the prayers, and I don't know that I could really praise the Lord the way they're doing in the book of Psalms. So, God gave you a songbook. One third of these are preaching, one third are prayers, and one third are praises. God's not going to give you no excuse. You're not going to get away from this. Fill your life with preaching. Fill your life with praying. Fill your life with praising. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Kind of good preaching. I have an evangelist friend named Lauren Dawson out of Illinois. Many years he'd come preach for us, and sometimes he just said, "Oh man, God's changed my mind about prayer." So he'd just grab that songbook and he'd start preaching. Each verse was a point one, point two, point three, point four, point 10, point 11. There was verses in there I never saw. But I mean, just use that because the song was a sermon. It's the only time I let women preach. And they're singing a song. Some of the finest preaching you'll hear is out of that songbook. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. That's good preaching. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died at Calvary. And we just say the word. We know those songs. We know my heart. And we have about as much oomph in our songs. I mean, when the song leader has to say, "Come on, please sing, please, turn to page 83. Turn, sing, now sing together." I've been in churches where this group was singing something completely different. Paid no attention to something. Oh, well. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, for it. I mean, that's preaching. Get on. Use that songbook. It'll keep you balanced in preaching, praying, and praising. Some of them, there's a whole lot of preaching in this songbook. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. In fact, it's the songbook that taught me what God's first name was. Andy walks with me and talks with me. That's the first smile I've seen out of three of you, I guarantee you that. Be careful what little minds think about. Some poor fainting, struggling female. You have good ears and you don't know what the words are. You may think they're singing something completely different. But stay with the words. The words are very important. And I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. That's good preaching. See, you can sing. The singing, the songs are preaching, praying, and praising. What kind of prayers do you have in the songbook? Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Who are you singing to? It's a prayer. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make... I mean, that's praying. You're talking to God. And you put a melody with it. And God inhabits the melodies and the praises of God's people. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. O Lord, more love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. This be the prayer I make. on bended knee. More love to thee, more love to thee. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. Get that songbook out. Get the songbook out. Let it be your teacher. Let it be your instructor. Let it be your counselor. Let it give you its testimonies and its precepts and its principles and its promises. And you'll be balanced if you keep it balanced by prayer. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Quit talking to other people about whether you think you're saved or not. If you can convince him, he'll convince you.
Amen.
Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. That's a prayer. We sing it like we're singing it to each other. It's a prayer. Just a closer walk with thee. I need thee every hour, most precious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. Now you're getting tired of me preaching this. But if you balance your life in this, you'll have an hour gone in your personal devotion time before you can blink.
Amen.
You'll walk out of there and have a stable and a stability in your life where you can meet and fly above the circumstances, and you can direct your path into the will of God, and you'll have grace to go above, and you'll have grace to fly through the storms, and you'll have the power of God when you're facing, and sometimes you need to flee youthful lusts that war against the soul, and sometimes you need to stand. These things will help you. Because one-third of that songbook and one-third of that songbook are praises. Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is my help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. I'm starting to feel pretty good. I remember one time down at the roll-off ministries when I went down there when I was a student at Tennessee Temple, and he preached and taught up there at my preacher's clubs and things like that. And we went down there, and we had some of the preacher boys. We asked him the question, what do you do with all these demonized girls and boys and men that come in here? Do you cast those devils out? He said, no. We sing about Jesus, preach about Jesus, pray in Jesus' name, sing about Jesus, preach about Jesus. Pretty soon the devils aren't comfortable and they leave. Fill your life with this. Satan won't feel at home in your life. How great thou art, how great thou art. And I stand amazed, I stand amazed at that love that has sought me, saved me and bought me. I stand amazed, holy, holy, holy. Won't you take that book with you? I have to do a lot of mine in the car, driving 14 and 15 hours a day. Thank God there ain't nobody in there but Jesus and me, because I'd wake the dog if he was with me. Oh, worship the King,
All glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love.
I like my Christmas songs, and I wish we wouldn't just use them at Christmas.
Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Keep your life balanced. Keep coming to church. Hear the preaching, the teaching, and the instruction in Sunday school and the sermons and the Bible schools and everything. Get every bit of it you can. Get the teaching and the precepts and the promises and the principles in your head and in your heart. Then go communicate with Almighty God. Talk to Him. Tell Him all your griefs. Tell Him all your fears. Tell Him when you're sad. Tell Him when you're happy. Tell Him thank you for some things instead of just asking Him for something. I mean, spend some time talking to the Lord.
Then sometimes it's just time to, you don't have to ask for nothing, don't have to say nothing. He just wants to hear you sing. He just wants to hear you praise Him. You know, I don't know which sister it was. Sometimes I just need somebody to be friendly to me. Sometimes traveling, I'm just alone. And sometimes I can't find a signal. I can't even call my wife. She says, "What you need?" I said, "I just need to hear you sing. But sing about me." She said, "I'll sing about the Lord." So when you pray but cannot get your answer through, when you are discouraged, know not what to do, cease to beg and plead and hallelujahs raise. Your petition shall ascend on wings of praise. So rise and soar into the sunlight rays, using both your wings of prayer and praise. Mount like eagles.
Where's that found?
Mount like eagles higher in the sky, and you'll find things look much better when you fly. Many baffled birds in vain will wave one wing. Urgent prayers they pray, but rarely shout or sing. Round and round these earthbound birds go in a maze, for they fail to lift their other wing in praise. So rise and soar into the sunlight rays, using both your wings of prayer and praise and preaching. Mount like eagles higher in the sky, and you'll find things feel much better when you fly. Others preach and sing and only shout around, like the sounding brass or cymbal, so they sound. They too fly in circles and will never share the much greater life on wings of praise and prayer. So rise and soar into the sunlight rays, using both your wings of prayer and praise. Mount like eagles higher in the sky, and you'll find things go much better when you fly. God gave us wings and tail feathers to guide us through. He won't make us use them. They're but here are His gifts to us. They're part of the grace gifts of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, all these graces. By faith, we get the preaching. By faith, we do our praying. By faith, we do our praising. Because it will be worth it all When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ,
preaching, praying, praising. Where do you find them? When you don't know what to preach, when you don't know how to pray, when you don't know how to praise, you got a psalm book for stability and just for icing on the cake. He gives you a song book. Father, we love you. Ask your blessings upon the message. I pray, God, that it will help all of us stabilize our lives and our ministries and our church services. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen.